إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my brothers, I want to remind myself and you that Islam is the name of a practice. Islam is not the name of a theory. Islam is not the name of an ideology, it is not the name of a philosophy, it is the name of a practice. And the issue about any practice is that it benefits only when it is practiced. For example, if you get a recipe book about Chinese cooking, and if you read this recipe book every day, and you memorize this recipe book, and then 1 month in the year you read this recipe book chapter by chapter for the whole month, what will happen at the end of that? Nothing. You would not have tasted and you would not know what is the taste of a Chinese meal, even though you are the hafiz of the recipe book. Now, Islam, as I said, is practice. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sent him specifically with the duty of not only informing people of what was revealed, which is to read out and recite, but also to demonstrate and show how to apply. يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these four duties: inform, prepare to receive, and then teach, and then show. Actually demonstrate and show. Now, somewhere we lost the plot, and the enemies of Islam very cleverly and very correctly identified how to take away the soul from this religion, so that we are left only with a shell. Now they know that they cannot tamper with the Quran. So what do they do? They remove the importance of practice from our lives. So somewhere they sold us this story that it is not important to worry about how to practice, it is not important to think about, you know, how to prepare yourself and so on and so forth. At best, read the Quran. You know, have debates on the Quran, have discussions on the Quran, have symposia on the Quran, have international conferences on the Quran, talk about the grammar of the Quran, talk about the, you know, the miracle of revelation and so on and so on. And that is enough. So, what happens to us now? For example, to give you an example from the Quran itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say is the cure for stress, the cure for, you know, your lack of peace of mind. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Allah said, عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Allah said, in the dhikr of Allah is there peace of mind. اِتْمِنَا لِلْقَلْبِ. So what are we doing? We are reading this ayat every day. عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. And what happens to your qalb in the meanwhile? Nothing. The stress is still there. The problem is still there. Why? Allah said, in the zikr of Allah is the itminan of the qalb. Now you are not doing zikr of Allah. You are just saying, in the zikr there is, in the zikr there is, in the zikr. So in the zikr if there is, then do zikr, no? Allah said, qad aflaha man tazakka. Allah said, the one who has purified himself has succeeded. So we read this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَلْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ. And our heart is filled with all kinds of junk. We have hatred, we have arrogance, we have greed, we have all kinds of fahushat, munkarat, everything in our heart. But we are saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ. How is it going to, unless you clean your heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a recipe. The one who has purified himself externally and internally is the one who has succeeded. But I don't, externally I don't do ghusl, I don't make wudu, I do nothing, I just say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Is this why the Quran came? Or did the Quran go, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Ah, fantastic, this is the recipe. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Now what to do? Go and purify yourself. Because Allah has told us very clearly, I want to be successful. Allah told us how to be successful. Purify yourself. So go and do it. Go and do it. Here is the recipe for Tom Yum soup. So what should I do? Read the recipe for Tom Yum soup again and again and again and again and again until I am a hafiz of Tom Yum soup. But I don't know who is Tom and I don't know who is Yum. And Tom and Yum are both in the soup and I don't. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What is the good of? How does it help? And this is exactly what happened. So what the people who are the enemies of Islam, what they did was that they sold us this story, and may Allah forgive us, some of us even bought this story. They sold us the story that the ahadith on Nabi are corrupted, and they sold us the story that really the position of Nabi is nothing to worry about. He was a Nauzubillah, they use such language, I don't even want to mention it here, but they say that he was a messenger, he came, he brought the message, he is not important. Postman is not important, letter is important. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. It's kufr to say such things. If somebody actually says something like this, if somebody calls Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a postman, believing that, he's a kafir, he's out of Islam, khalas. But they say this. So what have they done? They have removed the value of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from our hearts. They have removed the value of what he taught from our hearts. And they said, the book is fine, no problem. You can read the book. You can read the book, no problem. Because in any case, they left to themselves, they would have destroyed the book also. But that is not in their control. So they leave it. You can read, no problem. You can read till the day of judgment because nothing is going to happen. Because you are not practicing what is in the book. You can read the recipe book till the day of judgment, you will still be hungry. You want to eat, you have to cook that recipe. You have to actually make that food. Unless you make the food, you are going to be hungry. You can read the recipe, you can't eat the paper. You have to actually cook the food. And this is what they did, and may Allah forgive us, this is what we bought. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to demonstrate. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not differentiate among the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah did not say, some of the teachings of my Nabi are more important, other things are not so important, so you can take this and you can leave this. Allah did not say this. Allah did not say, for example, whatever my Nabi tells you about ibadat, you follow that. But something else he told you about this and that, you don't have to follow. Allah did not say this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made not one but many absolutely blanket statements with regard to the following of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يُوتِي الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who has obeyed the Prophet, he has surely obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, this does not mean that the Nabi is Allah, na'uz billah. It means that whatever the Nabi says comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if we obey the Nabi, automatically you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many others. I don't want to go into the details here. But the point I'm saying is that the position of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been devalued in our eyes. May Allah forgive us. We have come to the conclusion that love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means to organize one jalsa of Siratun Nabi or something like this, or Miladun Nabi, one jalsa per year, and that is more than enough for us. And then every Friday we stand and we say As-salatu as-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah or something like this. That is as far as we are concerned. Love of Rasulullah has been established and we are among the Ashiq-e Rasul. Now we give ourselves a name also, Ashiq-e Rasul. Now if you say, boss, you are such an ashiq of the Rasul, show me something of the Rasul in yourself. There is nothing. Then what ishq of Rasul is this? Not only is there nothing of the Rasul in yourself, in your, you know, in your life, but you actually disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then you say, I am Ashiqa Rasul. How is this possible? But the reason for that is, that the whole importance of the Nabi has been removed from our minds. And we have converted the Nabi into some kind of, you know, holy figure that we should pay obeisance to. And that is sufficient. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't come for people to say salatu was salam. He came to be obeyed. He came to be followed. He came so that we express our love for him by following him in everything that he did. That is the reason for the baisat of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And why must we do all that? So that we can eat. To give the recipe book example, why must I cook the food? So that I can eat. There's a direct relevance to benefit for us. We don't follow the sunnah of the Nabi to benefit the Nabi. No. To the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to his position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not matter whether we follow the sunnah or we don't follow the sunnah. If the whole world today decides to refuse to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will not reduce the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is beyond that. When he came, he completed his job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness to the fact that he completed his job. As far as he is concerned, he is beyond whatever we decide to do and we don't decide to do. The benefit of the following the sunnah is for whom? Is for us. If we cook the recipe, then we eat the food. If you cook the recipe in the book, you don't send the food to the man who wrote the book. No? Do you do that? Let's find the author. I cook the food. Here is the food. I'm sending it to you. You know, by email or whatever, right? You have to send the food by email. No, I mean, seriously, we have to think about this. That what is it that we are doing to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have taken one piece of it, which is the recitation. Alhamdulillah, this is very good. We should recite. We must read. We must listen. All of this is extremely important. All of this is very beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us hasanat for this and tawaf for this. But that is not the reason for the nuzul of the kalam of Allah. The kalam of Allah did not come only to be heard, only to be recited, and then nothing else. That is not the reason for the nuzul of the kalam. The nuzul of the kalam was sent so that it will be practiced. Why? So that we become winners in the world. And this is the whole point. Yesterday I had an email conversation with a friend of mine, Hindu friend of mine, Bengali guy, he's an old student of mine. He writes me an email, he says that there is a leadership group that we belong to called India Leadership Network. He said, there was a guy on India Leadership Network who insulted the hijab. And he says, I busted the ghost of the illiterate who insulted hijab. Yeah, some months back, he asked me for some of my books. So I sent him some of my books. So now he writes me an email yesterday and he says, I busted the ghost of the illiterate who insulted hijab. And then he sent me what he had written. Then he tells me, but he says, sir, but you know, I am surprised. There are 3 Muslims on that group, but nobody responded to that insult. Who is saying this? This is a Hindu Bengali guy who is saying this. He says, there are 3 Muslims on that group, but nobody responded. So I told him, I said, this is the problem with our Muslims. We are not confident about our own religion. And I said, that is why the hijab of the nun, of the Christian nun, is accepted. The beard and turban of the Sikh is accepted. But we don't accept ourselves. So he writes back to me and he says, it pains me to see Muslims drinking and gambling to keep up with their friends. He said, it pains me to see this. He says, I deliberately, when they invite me to the birthday parties of their children, I go and I take for them children's books about the life of the Prophet. And I see guilt in their eyes when they receive that gift from me. Ajeeb, I uske liye dua farmaya log. Make dua, Allah, may Allah give him hidayah, inshallah. He says, I deliberately take gifts for them and I see the guilt in their eyes when they receive this gift, which is the book of Seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from my hands. And he says, I cannot understand what is so bad about living by your religion until you die. And then finally in that email, I've literally sort of memorized that email. Finally in that email, he says that the demonization, he said the Muslims do not understand that the demonization that the world is doing of them and their religion is actually their biggest strength. They must stand by that and they must live by that. And then last line, he says, if you want to start a revolution, you will find me standing by your side. No. So I said, well, I'm not going to start any revolution, but this is what? This is the email of a Hindu guy. We should have some shame, for God's sake. Lahar wala khuwata ila wala. Ajeeb, eh? This is what he says. And why? Because we don't practice what we have. And that's why, inshallah, next few days we'll talk about the sunnah. But I'm saying, to begin with, let us understand this thing very clearly, that the whole purpose of the nuzul of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for us to practice it in our lives. How are we going to do that? By following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah did not send the kalam, and he did not leave it to our own imagination to guess and figure out how to practice it. No. Allah said, aqimu salah. And then he didn't leave it to our mind to say, well, okay, Allah said, aqimu salah. So maybe I should do salah in this particular way. Maybe I should start in sujood. Because in sajda, your person is closest to Allah. So instead of standing in qiyam, you are actually furthest away from that place of sajda. So technically speaking, in terms of our own logic, if you are closest to Allah and in the salah you are supposed to be, so you should start salah in sajda. Begin with sajda. Logic, this is what logic says. Begin with sajda, begin with sujood. So you go into salah, you begin the salah in sujood. Allah did not leave it to us to guess what is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us aqimu salah, and then he sent his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught him how to do salah, how to establish salah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray as you see me pray. I have mentioned this so many times before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not constrained by the number of words. Allah did not have an editor for the Quran to say you can have only 6,000 lines in this thing. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said aqimu salah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have described in detail how this salah is to be done. You could have had a whole surah called salah, and the surah has detailed instructions about how to do salah. Allah was not constrained, you can't do this. No, he could have done that. Why did he not do it? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do things by accident. There is a reason why he did not do that. That is to establish the position of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it blank. Now if somebody says, I don't want hadith. Hadith, ignore it. I trash the whole thing. I want to go by the Quran. Alhamdulillah, no problem. So go by the Quran. Allah said, aqimu salah. Now pray. You can't even start. You cannot even start. So what did Shaitan now teach them? Shaitan took the dictionary meaning of salah. And Shaitan said, salah is only blessing, salah is only dua. So there is no salah as such. All these fellows going to the masjid and all that, they are stupid. No need. Dua, make dua, khalas. And these are the games that Shaitan plays. Why? Because we open the door. Shaitan does not come in uninvited. We invite, we open the door. So when he comes in, what is he going to do? Shaitan can only do one thing. Shaitan cannot lead you to Jannah. He does not know the way himself. How is he going to lead you to Jannah? So he can only do that. And that is what happened. And that is exactly what happened. So I remind myself and you, let us seriously reflect. This is Ramadan. Let us reflect on the importance of the Sunnah. Let us ask ourselves, do I want to eat? Or do I want to live all my life hungry while reading the recipe book? What sense does it make? If I want to eat, then let me learn to cook. Let me start practicing cooking, not just reading the recipe book. And the name of practicing cooking in terms of Islam is the Sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to the noor of guidance, to open our hearts to the true love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without which our iman is not complete, wallahi. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with love for himself and with love for his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to fill our lives with the noor of the practice of Islam and with the noor of the sunnah, and to help us to taste the beauty of this beautiful deen, so that we really and truly benefit from this. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.